Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Open Talk Radio, 313 The Flash.
No, what I'm saying, you think you're the right place, I forgot to change my address. Yeah. I need to. Okay. Sounds good, thanks.
Results in touchdowns, and even really the next field goal was on a possession that started with 20 seconds less than a half.
Thompson facing a decimated LSU defense. They're missing two defensive linemen, all three starting linebackers, three in the secondary. It's rid of it quickly, and that is caught for a pickup of five to the tight end, Nick Letters. Mainly a blocking tight end. That's only his third catch of the year.
Again, see how quickly the ball comes out. And it's not like everything's been totally clean in the pocket for Thompson. I think LSU's done a nice job of moving him off the spot, hitting him. But he's played with great anticipation so far tonight. And this kept Kansas State on schedule.
We are Kayfabe, the People's Band. We are the only sports entertainment cover band. We are going to play all of your favorite wrestling theme songs from the golden ages of the 1980s all the way up to today. From all as many wrestling promotions that you love near and dear, from the NWA days, the WCW, to the WWF, or of course we know today is WWE, Ring of Honor, or New Japan, they got some theme songs out there. We will be playing them. And there will be some songs that we're going to cover that may not necessarily be wrestling theme songs, but they may have been songs that wrestlers have used in the past. Like, for example, the late, great Junkyard Dog, Hall of Famer. Back in the day, in the early 80s, he used to come out to a very popular song by the rock group Queen, another one by the Dust. That's just one example. And we are going to be playing everywhere we possibly can. Birthday parties, corporate events, wrestling shows, comic cons, anime conventions. We may even do a few anime songs, so, you know, we're open to a variety of things, but our bread and butter is going to be wrestling. And
we'll be right back. What is up? What is up, everybody? Welcome to Wrestle Talk in the D with Martez, Dominic, Josh, and Kayvon right here on Open Talk 313 The Flash. You can hear us on blogtalkradio.com. Tonight we're here to talk wrestling. We got a lot of things that we want to discuss. We got some guests calling in shortly. We just want to stop and thank God, as we always do, for giving us another chance to talk wrestling and yap our mouth about this or that. You know, this is a good time to be a wrestling fan. I've always said this. We're entering the best part of the wrestling season. Okay, you know, the NBA, they have the playoff season, right? You know, which is obviously the best part of that league, the playoff season. NHL, you have the Stanley Cup playoff season. NCAA basketball, you have March Madness. You know, we are entering what we call our postseason. That's WrestleMania season. Don't get no better than that WrestleMania season. You see WWE stepping up around this time. Now, I can't speak on what happens the other 10 months of the year or 9 months of the year, but I know for sure these next 3 months, they're going to step it up. You know, this is their biggest event. Now, this is their Super Bowl. This is their Super Bowl. You're going to see top matches that you wouldn't ordinarily see. You're going to see matches that that we want as fans. And you're going to see dream matches. You're going to see people like underdogs win championships, like a Daniel Bryan, like a Kofi Kingston. You're just going to see all that occur, and I can't wait till it really revs up, and it revs up January 29th, the Royal Rumble. I'm going to bring in Josh. He's with us right now. Hey, Josh, what's up, my brother?
What's going on, brother? How you doing?
Hey, man, I feel all right. You know, as I talk wrestling, I'm feeling a little better, but once we get off here, I might be super sick again. But talking about wrestling, it's almost like what is that? It's hard to explain, but it's almost like the pain is gone or the sickness is gone because I'm talking about something that I truly love, and that's WrestleMania season. Yeah, but I'm sure my sickness will come back.
Well, you know what they say, some get down with the sickness, so, you know.
Yeah. How do you we're supposed to be talking to Coco T. Ware, the founder, the leader of Kayfabe's The People Man. He's going to be a part of our Sound Off segment. He messaged me a few days ago. He said he had a lot to he wanted to sound off about, and I said, "Hey, let's bring you on." So he'll be calling in shortly, and we'll get that going on. But Josh, I wanted to—I know we got other things that we're going to talk about tonight. But this is WrestleMania season, man. You heard the opening. I feel like this is the postseason of wrestling. You know, WrestleMania season. How do you look at WrestleMania and this season that's upcoming?
I see the potential to probably have this be one of the most memorable WrestleManias in the last decade for the simple fact, yeah, you got your main marquee matches, but like you said, I truly have a sneaky suspicion this year is going to be the year of the underdog. And that's what has me excited, because when you're the underdog, no one's really rooting for you, but everyone is secretly rooting for you, you know?
Mm-hmm. I thought we get loud. Now, you talk about underdogs. Who, like, one person stands out to you right now that's an underdog for this WrestleMania season? I have my pick, but who do you think is the underdog of this WrestleMania season?
This WrestleMania season, I truly believe the underdog in the men's division is Kevin Owens. I think they got big plans for him. And the reason I'm saying he's the underdog, even though he's in a title reign, our title picture, is because if you look at it, he has predominantly in the last 2 years been more along the lines of, let me be a sub-character, a background character. And over the last couple of months, he has really come back into the Kevin Owens that we've known when he first joined the main roster, and that makes him the underdog because no one expects him to beat the likes of a Roman Reigns or a Brock Lesnar. I'll even go as far as to say a Seth Rollins.
Yeah, you're right. You know, and honestly, I think I don't see him being in part of no championship match no heavyweight championship match this WrestleMania season, but I do see him possibly winning the Money in the Bank. I think that's his to win. It will make sense if they give him that Money in the Bank briefcase, because there's no way he's going to be in that championship picture at WrestleMania. You know, I can see Bobby Lashley taking on Brock Lesnar, or I did think that Drew McIntyre was going to be mixing that picture, but he's injured, so I could be wrong. We will see. Anything else on this topic that we want to bring in Coco? I know he has a short amount of time. It's late.
Only female I see as the underdog right now is Liv Morgan. So look for big things for her in the future.
Oh yeah, you know I said the other night, people said the feud is over. No, they should carry this feud on all the way to WrestleMania. It will make it cool. You know, if Liv Morgan continues to lose to Becky Lynch, but on that WrestleMania night, she finally pulls the trigger and win. I'm gonna keep this going, man. And Liv Morgan is definitely a feel good story. But this is Wrestle Talk in the D right here on Tuesday night on Open Talk 313 The Flash, and we got a special guest, not a stranger to this house or to this show, but he's going to sound off right now. About 15-20 minutes of sounding off. We're going to bring in the founder and the leader of the Kayfabe of People Band, Brother Antoine or Coco. We don't know who it is. What's up, brother? Good evening.
Happy New Year, fellas. Good Brother Dom. Good Brother Kayvon, the Tribal Chief. Good Brother Josh. It's good Brother Martez. Happy New Year, fellas. This is the Black Man Coco T. Ware, founding leader, Kayfabe the People's Band. How y'all fellas be tonight?
Man, I wish I was better, man, but hearing your voice, man, I'm feeling better by the minute, you know. I'm a little sick, but hearing your voice, it definitely puts a smile on my face, so I'm feeling good.
Well, that's awesome. Good brothers, let me just tell y'all right now, we are on this is WrestleMania season, baby, so you know the Black Man is amped, and he's ready, and he's lit up like a Christmas tree, baby. On Thanksgiving, I'm ready real early. I can't wait for all this to get going and kick started.
Oh yeah. So, do you look at this as like the Super Bowl season or the March Madness season? Do you look at these next 3 months like that?
Oh, brother, it's all that rolled into one. It is a World Series. It's the Super Bowl. It's the College Football Playoff National Championship Final Four. All of that rolled up in between, baby. And then you got good old WrestleMania. And see, we on that road, daddy. See, Royal Rumble, probably my favorite pay-per-view. One of my favorite of the big four of the good old WWE wrestling events. And a shameless plug, people, y'all need to keep y'all ears and eyes open real quick, because we're going to do another big four preview show that we call the Mega Power Hour, me and the good brother Macho Ghost and brother Matez. We're gonna jump back into yesteryear on the Royal Rumble and talk about some of the things we liked and what we're going to like about this current Royal Rumble and so on. But anywho, this is a wonderful time of the year. It's Christmas all over again, fella. That's what I'm talking about. Christmas all over again for me. You know what I'm saying? Great time to be a wrestling fan.
Oh, yeah. I agree.
Well, honey.
Now, do you have anything you want to sound off about tonight? We want to give you the floor to sound off about anything in the world of wrestling that's going on that you want to talk about. So the floor is yours, and we'll piggyback on what you're saying.
Okay, well, thank you so much. Okay, see, look here, dig this here, fellas. See, the Black Man got to get this off his chest and mind, you know what I'm saying? I paid attention not too long ago. One female wrestler by the name of Big Swole, you know what I'm saying? She went on at some comments, and she was saying something to the effect that AEW, the new kid on the block, somehow it's not diverse enough. You know what I'm saying? She was saying, oh, there's not enough representation here and there and everywhere in this company. Now, she got released. You feel what I'm saying? But she took exception to Tony Khan, the boss man, if you will, of this here AEW, and he said, hey, we got some of everybody up in here from the top all the way to the bottom, me including myself. I'm a brown man. Listen, we let you go simply because, hey, your wrestling just wasn't quite on par for us right now. So that's why we let you go. That ain't no reason for you to be saying you're not there or to imply that AEW doesn't have enough representation and this and that. And so, you know, I actually have to agree with Brother Khan, you know what I'm saying. And now, don't get me wrong. I like watching AEW, and I think sometimes some things they do I don't care for, but then, hey, it's different. That's all that is to it. But for someone like a young Big Swole to say, Sister Swole sitting up there saying that, oh, they don't have enough this and not enough of that, AEW goes out their way, mama, to bring something different. I remember when they first started airing AEW Dynamite, I remember Brandon Rose getting on that microphone saying something that they were the most sensory-inclusive wrestling program. I don't even know what that means, but I guess that meant, you know, they was going to have some of everybody and everything. I mean, they got a grown man that got fake breasts and grew his hair and said he's a woman, okay, and he's wrestling in the women's division. You can't get more diverse than that, if you will. I mean, don't get me started on that, because for the black man, I don't care for that. I put that right up there with men pretending to be women, competing in women's sports. So I particularly just don't care for that. But, you know, that's another subject for another day. But for Sister Swole, and by the way, for a woman by the name of Big Swole to come out with a wrestling name like that, I mean, that's what a man calls himself. You know what I'm saying? Usually men refer to themselves as Big Swole. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah. I mean, that's a gutsy thing for her. You know, no disrespect or nothing like that. But she took a name like that and got herself on a national stage. You feel me? So I do find it strange and odd that she would say such a thing like, oh, it's not diverse enough. I mean, I don't get even WWE is diverse, you know, the way they just use that word because, you know, the black man can get a little philosophical these days. In a black man's mind, you know, I always say, you know what? What is diversity? Because why do we always limit it to skin color as if diversity isn't other things? You know, there's thoughts and opinions and viewpoints. There's diversity amongst black people, you feel what I'm saying? There's diversity amongst Latino people and diversity amongst other ethnic groups. And so even amongst white people, there's diversity. So why are we always limiting diversity to just skin color? You know, that's just so shallow and base. And so young women like Sister Swole, I hate to say it, but I think sometimes when they're being told, hey, you're being let go for whatever reasons, instead of them just taking whatever the constructive criticism at the time, they take it as some kind of an insult or they feel some sort of entitlement, you know what I'm saying? Like somebody's just supposed to do something for them, like they deserve better. And you know what? No one deserves, and if you earn something, then it's like you feel what I'm saying. I mean, my band, Cafe the People's Band, we don't walk around saying we deserve a spot at WrestleCade to perform a 30-minute segment piece, you know what I'm saying, or WrestleFest deserves to have. No. We got to earn our way, Daddy. We got to make a name for ourselves. We got to ask, you know what I'm saying, hey, how would y'all like to book a band or someone send our information along a venue's way, and they get, see, that's how it happens, you feel what I'm saying? I'm not deserving anything, you feel me? Just because I want it doesn't necessarily mean I'm going to have what I'm supposed to have it. I got to do what it takes, you know what I'm saying? We got to rehearse. We got to work. We got to advertise. We got to put ourselves out there. We got to book ourselves at things like the 313 WrestleFest, that is Saturday, January 29th. Shameless plug there, baby. At the Imagine Theater, we're going to be with Sister Jessica Ella Band, and then later on in the evening at 7 o'clock, the band is going to play, y'all, right just before the daggum watch party for Royal Rumble, my favorite pay-per-view of the year. And we're going to do our thing, you feel what I'm saying? See, we didn't deserve that. We earned it, you feel me? Because good brother Martez reached out to brother CEO Davenport and said, hey, brother, how would you like to come and play at this show, and that we got to do business, et cetera, et cetera. You feel me? See, a Big Swole would think somebody's just supposed to just do that for her because she just stepped in the ring, and that's just supposed to happen. You feel me? See, we got to get out of this. This generation got to really, really get out of this thing where they feel like if it ain't enough of, quote, unquote, us, then something's wrong with it. Well, they hired you. You feel what I'm saying? They called you. So if you were the only minority in there, if you will, hey, there's diversity already, baby. So what you do is don't worry about who is or isn't there that looking like you. You just make a point to stand out. You feel what I'm saying? Make your talent and your product worth the salt to what people say, we're going to keep you on for a long time. And I think Super Soul kind of forgot about that. That's just my two cents, you know what I'm saying? I can go on forever and a day. But, fellas, what say y'all?
You don't mind if I jump in, do you, Martez?
Oh yeah, you could. I'm gonna turn my mic off for the rest of the show. Antoine, I'm not feeling that well, but Kayvon is here now, and Antoine, thank you for coming on, man. And I agree with everything you said. I 100% agree. But yeah, go ahead, Josh.
Well, the CEO is in the bedroom right now, asleep. So you know, I'm up. You know, I'm up here
my
with the basic time. I'm just working on stuff. Yeah, no, it's okay. It's okay. CEO, he's in bed. He's asleep already. You know, he got some shut eye a little early for once.
All right, so I agree with some of what you said, but I had to disagree with the majority of what you said. Because, see, when she got hired, Tony Khan, if he didn't like her wrestling in the first place, he shouldn't have offered her a contract. So that was his fault. Because you hire people that you see potential in, not people you don't see potential in. I think what she was meaning by diversity is, yeah, there are different races and stuff like that, but who are the two main ones that are on the big show? You got Brandi Rhodes and you got the Lila Rose, whatever her name is. You got them two. The other ones are all delegated to an hour-long show. And the diversity is there, but you're not using it properly. And the thing is Big Swole was under contract for a year or two, something like that. She had five matches, and they weren't giving her nothing. Powerhouse Hobbs is not the best wrestler. He's good, but he's not the best wrestler, but he's not Jay Lethal good. And Jay Lethal, they made a big deal at Full Gear about him signing and saying he's all elite, and then they delegate him to an hour show. When Kyle O'Reilly comes and he's instantly pushed into a main storyline. I mean, they're doing what WCW did, and it's killing them because in the long run, yeah, I get it. You want as much diversity in whatever company you're in because that's, you know, the best thing to do because you want everyone happy. But at the end of the day, I think Big Swole was coming from a place of, you know, like not hatred or anger or anything like that. But Tony Khan took it to that place and he put her on blast and said, we let your contract expire because your wrestling wasn't good enough for us. That's pretty much saying I gave you money just to give you money. But then why, if you didn't see some potential in her, why hire her? Go ahead.
Well, see, I'm saying, well, here's the thing. Who said she didn't have the potential when they looked her up? That's why they brought her on in the first place. And so it's what you do with the time that you got. Sometimes a wrestler, they don't see what, you know, what you think or how high it may go. I mean, hey, this finds people all the time. You feel what I'm saying? Bring them in for a little bit, and then he lets them go. So I don't think it's an issue of they didn't think she had potential in the first place because that's why they brought her there. But at the end of the day, I guess for whatever reason, it didn't quite come together. So that's all there is to it. I think the best thing to do, and I agree, I don't think she came from a place of hatred neither, but I also think it's a bad move to come out here and say something like that. I mean, yes, no, AEW is diverse. It is, period. I mean, from the top executive positions to people wrestling. They always got somebody black, Latina, or whatever, wrestling in that show, always on the TV. And then on top of that, over the past couple of years, they have signed so many people. You know what I'm saying? Unless they stretch out their time to 2.5-3 hours like WWE's, and I mean, and then on top of that, you got AEW Dark, and now you got Dynamite. I mean, they got some ways to stretching this out, but at the end of the day, you got to find a way, from how I always understood it, you got to find a way to stand out and carve a name for yourself. And hey, who's to say that she can't come back? You feel what I'm saying? So that's another thing.
Oh, yeah.
Even if there's a moment where you think, oh, I've arrived and I made, just take a WWE. Some of those guys, I mean, Keith Lee, I mean, I think we all just knew and all was hoping, like, okay, this guy, I mean, for the black man, I thought his charisma and his, it just kind of had like rock-like tendencies, you feel what I'm saying? I thought something was in. I think it still is. But for whatever reason, the big man, Vin and Mac, for some reason, I guess it was something else he wanted to come out of him or whatever it was. I mean, he had great expectations, you feel what I'm saying? So, I mean, why it did not come together, I do not know. But, you know, in due time, how he may come back in a year from now. Who knows? I'll give you an example of a guy who was let go. Drew McIntyre. I mean, Drew McIntyre literally was on in the ring on national TV, on camera, with Vince McMahon pretty much dubbing him as kind of like the next great one that over a decade plus ago. And at the time that he was on there, it didn't quite come together, so they released him. But you know what Drew did? He just went out there throughout different parts of the world, different promotions, got his weight up, did his thing, made a name for himself all over. Then they re-signed him. And then before you know it, he's already been WWE champion. He's always in the picture. He's a better wrestler and a better speaker and everything. Whatever they need from their brother, he's there. You know what I'm saying? He's making it happen. Same thing with the New Day. I mean, these were journeyman guys, if you will, and at some point it didn't seem like they was going to be on there longer than they figured something out and made it stick, the New Day. And from this point on, I mean, they're all future Hall of Famers, you know what I'm saying? So all I'm saying is, you know, sometimes it may not seem like it's fair, but, you know, you just make the most out of what you have, and if they let you go soon, take what you can learn from that and go out and make a name for yourself, baby. You know what I'm saying? Use it for what it's worth, you know. You didn't pay, so make good use of that money, save it, build it. Or if you feel like it ain't diverse enough, then if I was Big Sister Big Swole, I would get out there and maybe stop my own promotion, you know. Whatever it takes. But go ahead, Brother Josh, as he was saying.
All right, so I'm a paint a picture for you, okay? So
all right, go
us
ahead.
Us being wrestling fans, we don't really care for the politics. We want to see a good show. You know what I'm saying? And the reality is Big Swole's contract expired. Then she made her comments. And then Tony Khan made his comments. So the contract had already been terminated, expired, whatever. And when they made the comments, I mean, pretty much she was just giving her freedom of speech and everything like that. And he attacked her character. Now, go back last month or the month before that. Cargill goes on social media and says, and I quote, "The wrestling fans do not appreciate black women in wrestling or black people in wrestling. Here is the problem with that." Tony Khan did not reprimand her or nothing. As a matter of fact, he's putting her in a title picture. Now, over in WWE, at that point, every single champion, with the exception of Mandy Rose and Roderick Strong, were all diverse. You had Big E, you had Roman Reigns. I mean, everyone was diverse. So my thing is at the end of the day, if you're going to want to attack someone's character because they were being honest on how they felt, but then you don't reprimand the person who had people start looking at your company with a side eye because of their comments and stuff like that, because they got a lot of hate mail with that, a lot of hate mail with what Jade Cargill said. The thing is at the end of the day, would you rather spend your time reprimanding your people who are under contract so they don't make you continuously look bad while they're still under contract, or would you rather focus on someone who's no longer under contract?
Well, I'm going to say this, and this is to both to the statement of Cargill and to the statement of the flow. I think the problem is, and I'm just going to call it, it's the so-called woke culture, the woke folk. And it has infiltrated everything that everyone enjoys. They find something they think is wrong, they got to make a point to speak out. Now, to Jay Cargill's situation, because right now she's kind of a hot name, you know what I'm saying? That's why she did it, because she knew that to some degree she's in a safe place, so she felt like she could say it. I wish she hadn't have said it, because it don't make sense. You are in a title picture, girl. So I don't understand why would you even make that statement. What are you complaining about? You and Red Velvet been feuding for a good minute. Once again, you got Nyla Rose, a grown man with breasts, said I'm a woman and I'm wrestling in the women's division. Was already AEW women's champion. What is the problem? So, again, I speak to both of those issues and I disagree with them both. There ain't no problem with black women in wrestling because y'all, hello, Naomi. I mean, goodness gracious. I mean, what, do you need 100 black women in the major markets and then you'd be satisfied? It'll never be enough. See, that's the problem. It's like an empty stomach that can never get full. You feel what I'm saying? And that's the problem with this, you know, this so-called issue. It's not really an issue, see. It's only an issue if you feel like you're not being heard in the moment. And then what I don't understand is you got Brendan Rhodes, who's in the leadership position there. You know what I'm saying? They go out their way to make sure minorities are, quote-unquote, included. You feel me? So my whole point to all of that is I just say all y'all need to stop and just remember that you're a wrestler. Yes, you're black first or whatever. However, when it's something you're punching in that clock, if you will, you're a wrestler. How about we just focus on good wrestling and you do the very best that you can out there. You feel what I'm saying? The Rock is one of the greatest wrestling talents on the planet of all times, and he was a guy who said, you know what, I transcended race. You know, so while everybody was focusing on, well, he black, no, he's Samoan. I always say, well, he's both, and if you want to get all technical and biological with it, he black first because his daddy is black. But, you know, that's a whole other subject for another day. My whole point is, whatever you are, black, male, female, white, brown, yellow, in between with polka dots, with a touch of plaid, you better be out there and stand out and make the best. Because let me tell you, just because Tony Khan or Vince McMahon or anybody hires you, they don't mean they're going to keep you forever. So what you got to do is you make the most and the best of your situation. I'm really tired of seeing wrestlers complain. And, yeah, they have the right to freedom of speech and so on and so forth. That's true. However, if every listen, one thing I learned about a snake, there's a difference between a young snake and an old snake. You feel what I'm saying? See, a young snake, like a rattle or something that injects venom, a young snake is a greater danger not just to others but to themselves because they use all their venom in one move. But the older snake is wise. Yeah. They know just a little is enough, and then they get out the way. The problem is we got too many of these folks that are just dropping all their venom in one moment, in a tweet or in an interview, saying something that they probably shouldn't say or feeling like because, hey, we got a few minutes of fame, so let me assert my dominance and my leadership. Sometimes it's just better to not say anything and let your wrestler speak for yourself, baby. If I walk around all day complaining about how, oh, this company, I mean, think about it, with my band. I could be crying and complaining about, oh, this is a majority white group. They don't want to hire no black band to play no wrestling music. Now, I don't have time to do that. You know what I should be doing? What I am doing? I'm reaching out to other venues and other opportunities and talking to people, saying, hey, who will have us? Give us a chance. Making videos and things of that nature to see, is this the kind of product that you would like to bring to your show? I don't have time to talk about who don't want me or who does want me. All I'm saying is, anybody give me a chance, hey, you can book us outside on the street. Give us some electrical outlets, and we'll put our stuff in. We'll show you why you want to pay us every single penny that we're asking for. You feel what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That's what these people got to do. Big Swole, Cargill, everybody. How about everybody drop your little egos, put it to the side, and just make your best. Shoot your shout out here in this wrestling. Let that talk for you, because we got too much of this out here. Listen. Everybody can't be Martin Luther King and Malcolm X. And I think that's the problem. Everybody got that complex. You know what I'm saying? Everybody want to be Colin Kaepernick. And let me tell you now on that. With Colin Kaepernick, his problem was he talked too much. And he caused a rift. And people don't want to hear this, but he caused a rift and division with everybody. And it brought out the worst in everything. And he's out here collecting money. You feel what I'm saying? He ain't played a snap of football, and he wasn't trying to play. That man done got paid 3, 4, 5 times. I ain't mad at him. More power to him. But don't pretend that you was about the game. You was always about yourself. You was always about this movement that you're playing. But you can take the millions of dollars. So that's all I got to say about that. I don't feel sorry for people like him. So with all that being said, I mean, I'm rambling forever in a day. So forgive me, gentlemen. But I just think whatever they think it is, lack of diversity or black women don't have this, but you know what? Thunder Rosa is a Latina woman, and I've seen her from NWA doing her thing in AEW. You know what I'm saying? I don't really hear her complaining unless there's some tweet out there that I ain't come across. But how about everybody just make the Japanese women? You don't ever hear them crying and complaining about Japanese wrestling. You don't ever hear them crying and complaining about, oh, there's a lack of representation of us. They just get out there and do what they do and stand out. I'm still waiting on that. Right. To come back. Daddy, I miss it. That's what we got to do out here, baby. You know. Yeah, there we go. That's what I can't wait.
Now, I will say this. I agree. Everyone should put their egos aside and not worry about the big money contracts. I also agree they should let their actions speak louder than their words. If you go out there and put on a good 10, 15, 20-minute match, I'm a fan. If you go out there and put on a 5-minute match and then you go backstage and start complaining, I'm not going to care about your match because now I'm more mad at you complaining. So I will agree with, I want wrestling. I don't want this politicking or this complaining. If I want a complaining, I go to kindergarten, watch a bunch of kindergartners cry. I spilt my milk. You know what I'm saying? So at the end of the day, So at the end of the day, it's like I don't pay to see an argument match. We're not in high school. There's no debate teams. This is a wrestling match. Give me wrestling or stay off my TV. Plain and simple.
There you go. There you go. That's all I'm saying at the end of the day. I mean, my attitude is I don't care if they're white, if they're black. I mean, if you're good in the ring, baby, that's all that matters. Make me want you more. You feel what I'm saying? It could be a variety of reasons why we may not see. Like, for instance, Private Party. I loved Private Party. I was wondering, like, what? I haven't seen much of them lately. So I don't know if it's... Maybe they wasn't moving the needle enough. I mean, I don't know what it is. Maybe it's something that's not quite clicking with them. I mean, they're a pretty young tag team, which is another thing people got to consider. Because let me just say this about AEW. Why everybody was clamoring and just singing the praise of AEW. Oh, they're letting these people get on. They're letting these people get on. Let me tell you, baby, in the words of Jim Cornette, it was an outlaw mud show. Starting out, I'm just going to be – I agree. Don't nobody want to see Michael Nakazawa put baby oil on himself. That was goofy. You know, it was just certain things like that. That just don't make sense to me. I mean, I want to give them a chance. And so you know what's been happening? They've been changing, and they've been refined in their game. They've been putting some of the more popular tag teams and groups right now. I mean, I just think maybe with Private Party, I'm glad that they're with Matt Hardy. But let's see what happens with that because – maybe Private Party needs to go someplace else, you know, because right now I think AEW is a full ship right now. They're about as loaded as WWE as far as roster is concerned. Because again, like you mentioned, Brother Josh, you can't make everybody happy, baby. I mean, you just cannot. You only got 2 hours one day, and you got 1 hour one day, and then you got AEW Dark on YouTube, and I mean, everybody just ain't gonna be happy, man. That's just all there is to it. But again, it kind of goes back to the point. Find a way to stand out. Make your way. I mean, I know the so-called the politics, if you will, it happens in AEW too, and we're seeing that. I mean, Brian Cage's wife was complaining, like, oh, he's great and he's this and he's that, and he's not getting on. I'm like, oh, that's bad. See, I hate that when the spouses speak up. My God, these men or these women or however you go, tell your spouses, hey, shut up. This is my job. Let me worry about it. I know you want to defend me and take up for me. Stay out of this. Let me handle it. Because you don't want to ruin any little chance I get. You know, because I've been wondering what's been happening with Brian Cage. And in my opinion, a guy like Brian Cage, I don't want to see this man who has the body of the Incredible Hulk doing moonsaults and big flips. I just don't want to see that. You're a big monster. Your feet should never leave the ground. You should be knocking people's heads off and tossing them 20 rows into the stands. That's what I want to see. That's just me. But at any rate, whatever happens with Brother Brian Cage, I think he's going to be all right. But, and you know, he's a white man, if I'm not mistaken. So, I mean, again, I'm trying to understand where Swole and even Cosgrove are coming from. Because white folks getting cut out. And anybody been seeing Marco Stunt lately? Ain't seen Marco Stunt in forever. To some degree, that's a good thing. Because I'm sorry. He looks like an 8-year-old kid out there wrestling sometimes. I'm scared he's going to get broke up.
You want to know what the problem with AEW is?
What's that?
AEW wants to, they have their own agenda, and their agenda is if you're friends with the elite, if you're part of the elite, or if you're related to the elite, you will get pushed. Or if you're from WCW, or not WCW, WWE, and your name is CM Punk or Bryan Danielson, you'll get pushed because at the end of the day, that's their agenda. This is my problem with AEW. It's always been my problem with AEW. It's not diversity because they had diversity. It is the simple fact. Right from the get-go, they said, we're going to be the place for all the indies and all the upstarts and everybody who wants to take a bite out of this cookie. We're going to give them the biggest bite they can have. They have not stayed true to themselves. The championship belt has not been away from anybody who is not in the pinnacle, the inner circle, or the elite, other than Jon Moxley. But the only reason they gave it to Jon Moxley is because he's close friends with Chris Jericho and Cody Rhodes behind the scenes. That's the problem with AEW. It's not diversity. It's they're a product of disbelief because I can't believe anything that they say because they're not staying true to their word. That's my problem with AEW.
And here's the thing, Brother Josh. I'm going to say it's two reasons for that. Number one, it just shows you that the more things change, the more they stay the same. You know what I'm saying? The whole backstage politics or, you know, whatever networks or groups of factions you're connected to, you may have a faster track. You know what I'm saying? And then on number two, I think the biggest thing is, kind of a little more to what you're saying, is that they promise Neverland. You know what I'm saying? They promise Neverland, but they forgot about their bottom line. They need ratings, baby. You know what I'm saying? So, of course, a Bryan Danielson came through. Yeah, we need you. Oh, CM Punk, he ain't been around 7 years. And what would we got? A love fest every single week. And I don't think CM Punk's wrestling has been the best, and it's been needle moving, if you will. I'm happy he's back. But let's not pretend that he's a second coming to Hulk Hogan or Stone Cold Steve Austin. Let's just shoot real about it. You feel what I'm saying? That's the case. He'd be an AEW title picture right now, but is he not? No. So, but at the end of the day, they needed the big names. They needed the faces. They needed certain individuals and personalities that would drum up excitement. So they know what they're doing on that end. But at the same time, going back to your point, they said, we're going to be this way. But I think reality is really kicking in. I mean, hey, they got to move to TBS now, Daddy. They're moving to TBS for a reason. Because we need eyes on our product. Because let me say this, and I've talked about this before. because a lot of hardcore AEW fans, they want to be these cult followers and these tribalistic wrestling fans that love dogging out WWE fans or whatever otherwise. Y'all sitting up here chatting about, oh, I want these moments, I want this dream match, and I want that dream match, and y'all don't understand. Wrestling don't always work, at least wrestling on national and worldwide television don't work like that, baby. It's all about the bottom line. You see, that's why WWE is still here. You can talk about them all they want, but they understand the bottom line, and they're going to give what's going to bring ratings. That's what's going to bring an audience. So with that being said, at the end of the day, it's about the almighty dollar, the almighty numbers. We got to get eyes on our show, and we can't do it with Luther and this person and that person. Sorry, we just can't do that. So yeah, they're gonna let a lot of people down. We're gonna hear more complaints and more whining and complaining from people. But I hope more wrestlers become more professional and just say, you know what? I had the cards dealt to me. I had to make the most of it. I had to fold them. So I'm gonna go on someplace else and do my thing. I hope more wrestlers develop that kind of attitude. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying they should just take anything and just eat it. No, because I understand that times where they got to speak up and say, no, that's not what I want. I'd like to try this.
Right.
Or how come we can't do, you know, there's times for that. But at the end of the day, AEW, they got bills to pay. And at the end of the day, Daddy Khan is the one who has the last say-so because that's his money floating. Tony running the ship because Daddy is coming. Right. And you feel what I'm saying? See, so at any given moment, if he realizes and decides, oh, this ain't working, oh, we're going to shut this down or y'all sell it.
Tony,
my foot.
All right, speaking up, you where is Brother Kayvon?
Oh, I'm right here. I am right here. I'm listening. I'm just listening.
Brother Tribal
Chief. Happy New Year, brother.
Happy New Year to you as well, Coco TV.
Coco, if you wouldn't mind, can we let Brother Kayvon do his Big 4+1?
Oh, by all means. As a matter of fact, it's a time where I'm going to actually withdraw anyway because Coco got to get his beauty rest and get ready for the next day anyway. I just want to thank you, brother, for allowing me to express myself and indulge, if you will. Remember, y'all, Saturday, January 29th, 313 WrestleFest, 7 p.m., we are playing at the watch party, 7 to 7:30. Can't say the people's name. It's going down in Chinatown, baby, at the Imagine Theater in Royal Oak. So I'm going to let you guys go. God bless y'all, and good night.
Good night, brother.
Good night.
All right, Brother Kayvon. So Martez is under the weather, so it's between me and you. Big 4+1.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, now that AEW is out the way, welcome to the island of relevancy. Welcome to the Big 4+1. Number one, Brock Lesnar. He was entertaining this past Monday night when he said, acknowledge me. He starts throwing shade at Roman saying that he is the champion. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we shall see on Friday night. Number two, Paul Heyman. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I know Roman Reigns fired Paul, but now Paul Heyman is now the advocate for Brock Lesnar. And well, let's just say he was throwing some shade as well. He said 1 week without him, my Roman Reigns has COVID. This shall be something. Number two, a dream. Oh, I said number two. Number three, I'm sorry, y'all. A dream match. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, we will have the dream matchup between Bobby Lashley and Brock Lesnar at the Royal Rumble. So this should be very, very interesting. Now, of course, we have Roman Reigns, who, of course, said this out loud and tweeted about it that he has COVID-19. too, but I want to see his response to Paul Heyman and Brock Lesnar this Friday. Then, of course, the last but not least, the big shocker for all of us, Mrs. Alexa Bliss. Her journey to Raw will be this Monday. So this should be something. Wonder who Alexa Bliss will be targeting when she heads back. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been the Big 4 Plus 1. Tune in next week to find out some more news. Back to you guys in the studio.
That was an awesome Big 4 Plus 1. You with us, Brother Dom?
Hello?
What's up, Dom? How you feeling tonight, brother?
I'm all right.
You got some stuff on your mind about wrestling? Let's go, brother. Let's do this thing.
Pretty much right now, I don't have nothing on my mind. Just sitting back, I'm kind of late. I'm finally done with the downtown life. I'm done with the service. Downtown let me go home. I didn't catch NXT.
Oh, you missed a good show.
Oh, yeah.
Man, it was a good one.
It was a good one. Need I say, the best NXT of 2022.
Yes.
So, guys, just fill me in. Give me a recap. That's the segment right there.
You have a new NXT champion. Spoiler alert, Bron Breakker. Not a big fan of his, but I guess, you know, it's time to let the dog loose, I guess. Your girl Mandy Rose is still the women's champion, as she should so deservedly be.
Absolutely.
And Carmelo Hayes, huh?
God's most beautiful creation.
Oh, yeah. And Carmelo Hayes has unified the titles.
Oh, yeah. You know what? When Melo shoots,
he don't win.
He don't win.
Don't forget, MSK and Matt Riddle has defeated Imperium. Matt Riddle actually hit an impressive RKO. I'm very impressed at Matt Riddle.
Yes, yes. I wasn't too thrilled with the rest of the show. Those key points were the best parts. I will say this, though. Roderick Strong is on his way out of NXT. And if he don't go to the main roster, he's going to AEW.
As you know that's where he's going. Come on, don't be silly. Use your head, guys.
Oh, yeah. Last time I used my head, my wife said it. I headbutted her too hard.
You like my R. Kelly impersonation?
Yeah, I'm going to reserve my comments. Let's talk about this thing between Brock and Roman, though. Where do you guys see it going? Like, is it going to be title versus title, or is it just going to be, you know, like they're each going to have a match? Where do you guys see this going?
I was hearing that it may title versus title, unifying the title, but they postponed it. postponed it. Postponed the match for WrestleMania. I'm all aboard for it. You know, just some a match at WrestleMania that I want to tune in to. It'd be a good move because I think a lot of us said that we want to unify the title again. Eliminate all
yes.
the unnecessary titles. So, excuse me. Sorry, you got to bear with me. I'm trying to eat supper while I do this show.
You good.
It's like what's the name used to say. It's the best. It's good for business. It's the best thing for business right now.
Oh, yeah. What you got, Kayvon?
Well, I've actually read on this report. I'll see how things go. As far as Roman and Brock goes, this is where my speculation would take it, and hopefully I'm right. At the Royal Rumble, Brock Lesnar will lose to Bobby. I know it is what it is. Bobby Lashley will be champion up until WrestleMania. At WrestleMania, Bobby is likely going to have a new opponent, only because at WrestleMania, of course, knowing this McMahon, he wants Roman versus Brock Lesnar to happen. So it will be Brock Lesnar versus Roman for the Universal title, or this can happen as well. Roman versus Brock, of course, Brock Lesnar being their champion, have them face each other in a no-title matchup. Just to see who the dominant champion is. Of course, we all know who the winner is, a.k.a. and it's not Brock Lesnar. I'm pretty sure y'all have already figured that out by now. But, yes, I can see that happening. If they do unify the titles, well, then there's only one person walking out victorious, a.k.a. the Tribal Chief. And Brock Lesnar is just going to have to figure out what he's going to do from that point on. Or you can go the route that, of course, I'm pretty sure that we won't take, but if they do take it, I'd be surprised. Put Bobby Lashley in that match. Having a triple threat, Bobby versus Brock versus Roman, for both titles on the line, oh, man, that's really going to be something.
That would be a good match.
Yeah.
Now, there's another thing that plays out here. I see at the Royal Rumble, because right now Roman Reigns ain't booked for the Royal Rumble. I see Roman Reigns costing Brock the title to Bobby Lashley, and then them forwarding the feud all the way to WrestleMania, so then they could have the match, and Bobby Lashley defending against whoever wins the Royal Rumble. But I also see Paul Heyman still siding with Roman Reigns and costing Brock the title. And at the end of the day, I mean, you're none the wiser for what they did, because, I mean, if you really look at it, the only way Brock Lesnar is going to lose that title is if someone cheats to win, because they built Brock so much to be a monster that the only person who's been able to pin him fairly is Roman Reigns in a one-on-one match. So, I mean, that could play out. And I wouldn't be upset with that. Got a question for you, Dom. How soon is it before they call up Raquel to the main roster?
All right, sorry, I had you on mute, guys. Doing something. You said how soon is who get called up to the main roster?
Raquel.
Ooh, mommy chica. I want to say, you know, she's going to be a surprise. She's going to be the for the females in the Royal Rumble, because females are black busters. Even the men's sisters.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to need, that's why they had Johnny Knoxville entering the Royal Rumble. I want to say Mommy Chica should be entering, getting called up. She should be the one getting called up the traditional day after WrestleMania.
Yeah.
One of those callers. You're going to see her at the Royal Rumble. You might see her getting a test run from Dark Match on the main event or Superstar platform. So then after that, look at the WrestleMania.
Yeah. Who? This is for both of you guys.
Like I said,
oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Josh, if that, huh?
Oh, no, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, my bad. I said if you are accurate, if you're kind of accurate, are you stating that it's supposed to be a tag team? I truly would like to see her and Electric Lopez get called up as a tag team.
I like that. Here's a question for both of you guys. Raquel gets a surprise entrance in the Royal Rumble, wins the Royal Rumble, goes to WrestleMania, and then debuts as the women's champion on the main roster the night after WrestleMania.
Oh, I love it.
All right.
I love
what,
it.
What do you say?
Like,
what do you say, Kayvon? Oh yeah,
that would be something. I would be intrigued. That would be a good. That would be a good one for Raquel Gonzalez. You know, seeing her working NXT, her entering the Royal Rumble, her winning the whole thing. You know, have her winning. And then, of course, next thing you hear is, I'm on my own against the wall, had the ESC stand up in the middle of that ring. Oh, my God. Yeah, I'm all up for it. I'm going down on this one. That would be exciting. That would be good.
Oh, yeah. Now, here's the thing the WWE can do. Since we are in WrestleMania season, which is the end-all, be-all of any sport, I don't care what anyone says, WrestleMania is where you want to be. But what they can do is throw complete shocks at the Royal Rumble and at WrestleMania, and it will legitimately put them above all the other competition in the ratings, regardless of what they do, because they are genuinely giving fans what they want, and they have the shock factor. And to me, that's what wrestling should be. Fans and shocking us. If you can do that, then you're doing good. What do you guys think?
Mm-hmm. I'm with you. In 2021, they surprised either 2021 or 2021 at all. With the Royal Rumble, they shocked us when Edge came back. Nobody was expecting Edge. We was chilling there until you heard, "So You Think You Know Me," and then all of a sudden, that was the start of something wow. Then if you go back in the Royal Rumble, you had a lady. The first ever lady superstar entering the men's Royal Rumble. It's like, wait a minute, what's going on? And then, of course, you know, we got Nia Jax entering the Royal Rumble. You've seen her get hit at RKO at 619, and they eliminated Nia Jax. That right there alone was shocking. So, yes, WWE has that surprise factor, and I hope they keep it. If they do, then they will have fans on their toes of, okay, who's going to come out next, or who are they going to bring back? Everybody, they can bring anybody else. I can feel it in my bones. I'm going to be receiving a whole lot of hate. They can bring back anybody except for this person, John Cena. Don't you bring back John Cena or Goldberg. Those two people alone, y'all better not bring them back.
Well, you know what they say about John Cena, you can't see him. So, I mean, I agree to the point, you know, how many times can you bring back Goldberg and how many times can you bring back John Cena? But that goes for all the part-timers. How many times can you keep bringing them back? And, you know, I mean, fans are always going to love it because it's a nostalgia act. But on the same hand, it's like, you know, John Cena's time is up. It's someone else's time now. He used his own words against himself. The fact is, at the end of the day, we don't want part-timers on unless they're going to be on full-time, which then they're no longer part-timers. John Cena's too busy making movies and TV shows. He's literally not going to be able to be on there but once every couple months. And when they do bring him back, yeah, he's a big ratings draw. But at the end of the day, as much as ratings as he's drawing, it's just for one show, maybe two if you're lucky. I mean, is he good on the mic? Yes. Is he good in the ring? Yes. Is he one-dimensional? Oh, hell yeah. He does the same moveset all the time. So it's like we want fresh. We want new. You know, surprise us. Let one of the Street Profits win the Rumble. You know, I mean, just like surprise us with something. Don't keep coming back with the same stuff over and over, because then your product gets dull. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's kind of like at the end of the day, I don't want to see John Cena versus Roman Reigns again. I don't want to see John Cena versus Brock Lesnar again. I would love to see a Sami Zayn versus Brock Lesnar, even though Sami would get killed. I would love to see that match. I would love to see R-Truth versus Roman Reigns. I'm just saying, I mean, give other people the spotlight, and they might surprise you. Just saying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but the same could be said for the women, too. I mean, they got their key set of women that they're focusing on, and at the end of the day, I mean, I don't need to see I won't say I don't necessarily need to see it, because they always got good chemistry. But if you put Charlotte and Rhea in a match again, you got money. You got bank. You got a good match. Give Bianca Belair a good shot at either Becky Lynch or Charlotte, and you got yourself a good match. Yeah, I mean, but I am loving this Liv Morgan storyline. So keep her in that storyline with Becky Lynch all the way up to WrestleMania. That's the story I am wanting for this year.
Oh yeah, I'm right along with you.
All right, here's a question for you guys. If you were, all right, we're all fans. If you were a fan that was able to book one main event for one of the WrestleMania nights without using champions, what match would you book? I'll ask you first, Kayvon.
Okay, without using champions, what match would I book? Well, I would book Bianca Belair taking on a D-Drop. I know it's not really, but in a no holds barred match just to see what Doudrop can really do. Actually, know what? Skip that. I'm sorry. Doudrop, bring back Nia Jax and Tamina. Triple threat match. No holds barred. Just to see them squabble and just to see like what they can actually do with their talents alone.
That's a good match.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know if Dom's still with us or if he had to step away for a minute. You there, Dom?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, so being a fan, if you could book one match, one main event match, without using champions for either night of either WrestleMania night, what match would you book?
Oh. That's a good one. I don't know. I mean, I know, I'm going to give you an answer, but
just so you guys know, we only got 9 minutes left of the show, so.
It's like, I want to do some type of dream match. Of course, if you're going to have a main event match and it's not a non-title match or a champion match, you got to do it like a dream match, a Hall of Fame dream match, an icon versus icon, passing of the torch match. So, I don't know, but I want to see something like an AJ Styles versus Finn Balor.
Yeah.
AJ Styles teaming up with Finn Balor versus, like, Cesaro or McIntyre.
Yeah. That would be a good match.
Oh, yeah.
So my match is going to be unconventional. It's definitely going to come off as weird with the two I'm going to choose. I would choose a hardcore Falls Count Anywhere match between Reggie and John Morrison.
Ah.
And they both got the parkour, so, I mean, that match would be very entertaining to me.
Yeah, it would.
Yeah. But, yeah. All right, so we got just about 7 minutes left. You guys have any final thoughts or any predictions or just anything you want to get off your chest?
Real quick, other than our team, who is the second most funniest WWE superstar that's out there right now?
Hold on, say that again.
Other than R-Truth, who is the funniest person in WWE right now?
Ooh. Pat McAfee.
Okay. The only reason why I think that is because another matchup just hit me in my head. Now, it'll be a goofy matchup, but it'll be hilarious. Have R-Truth versus Pat McAfee and who can make each other laugh first. And that, I think that will be funny within itself, only because R-Truth made Brock Lesnar break. Pat McAfee is, hilarious in his own way. So why don't you have them in a match? Who can make each other laugh first?
Oh, yeah.
Just saying.
Yeah, I'd even go in and throw in Santino.
Yeah.
Man, I'd pay good money to see that because I like a good laugh. So, yeah. Dom, anything?
I was going to ask maybe a next topic for the next show. Who is you guys' surprise entry? Surprise pop-ups for this year's Royal Rumble, man and female.
I mean, we got 4 minutes left. If you want, we can save that for another show, but we can get started on it tonight, and we each can name one real quick, and then we'll just Dom, do you want to close us out after we name one each?
No, I thought about it, but like I know it's a good topic. That's what I said. That's the topic for next time show. I'm just a little relayed.
All right.
Already.
Yeah,
let's
next show. Next show, definitely talk surprise entrance in a Royal Rumble. Because I have a couple I would definitely love to see be surprised.
Surprise entry, surprise call-ups, any return.
Oh, yeah.
The whole nine yards.
Oh, yeah. That, and then also next show, I wouldn't mind talking about managers and the roles they play. Because at the end of the day, managers all the way back from the beginning of wrestling have been key parts that they just don't get the respect for. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we could tackle celebrities from outside of the wrestling world entering the wrestling world, and should it happen, and does it make sense? Three topics for the next show, if you guys are down. So,
well, y'all know the time too, but I'm always down. I'm always down.
Sound like a plan.
Yeah. All right, Dom, you want to take us out?
I guess so. Anybody? No other shout outs? No other suggestions? Thank you guys.
One shout out. Hold on, Martez, get better, my brother. We all wish you a speedy recovery. And as they say, don't be down with the sickness. And, oh, you didn't know? There you go. All right, go ahead, Dom. Sorry.
Thank you for everybody for listening. This is Russell Talk 313 The Flash with Big Junkyard Josh, K-Dog K-Von, and me, Mr. Dom. The one and only. Signing off. Peace. All right, outro.
I think we got to wait for Mr. Martez.